take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Welcome to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Today is Q&A with the nurses, and I have with me Nurse Jody, Kimberly, and Melissa. I want to encourage our audience that if you have questions and comments, or perhaps you want to share your own experience with what you're witnessing out there, to send us information directly and any questions directly to nurses@americaoutloud.com. And we will be featuring your questions and comments every Friday on a special Q&A episode with the nurses. We encourage all of you to share these podcast links with those in your community. You may be the only person in their life bringing real news that can help them in these troubled times. We cannot count on the mainstream media to truly inform us of what is actually going on and how to keep the citizenry actually truly informed. Today, there's three things, ladies, that I wanted to bring to y'all that came to my attention from various listeners. One of them is just the obvious thing that happened this week that I just wanted all of us to share our stories, because it was historic that we had a solar eclipse this week, a total solar eclipse. But then also, I got a question in that was very troubling that I want to share with you all. And I think a lot of people could be helped by what was discovered walking through it with this person about Paxlovid. That's the only approved EUA approved drug to be given during COVID, is actually being administered to pregnant women. And I wanted to address that with you all today. So, but before we hit those two heavier topics, I wanted to see what happened with each of you, because I know we're all in different states. We can all reveal what states we're in, because everything was different when it comes to the eclipse. But apparently this is like something very historic, this April 8 total solar eclipse that passed over North America, Mexico, U.S., and Canada. Apparently, it's considered very rare and a phenomenal celestial occurrence. And the moon apparently moves in front of the Earth and blocks the entire shine of the sun. And then we can momentarily see the sun's corona with the naked eye. But I actually failed to get any glasses for myself or my son. And I'm in Georgia, so we went out yesterday in the middle of it. And the first thing we noticed was that it looked out through the windows like there was like the green in the trees, because things are green here in Georgia right now. They started having a yellowing, discoloring. We could tell that it was dimming, like it was a different time of day than it was supposed to be, even though it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon for us. And the most we saw, we did not actually have total solar eclipse in Georgia. How about y'all?
Well, I did not get outside. Well, I did go outside for a walk with the baby, but it was really cloudy. And I also did not get those eclipse glasses. But from my friends that were outside trying to watch it, they really couldn't see anything because of the cloudiness.
Oh, that's too bad. How about you, Kimberly?
Yeah. And Melissa and I are in the same state. We're both in Tennessee. So it was pretty much the same thing here. It was pretty cloudy. I did not get glasses. Everybody was talking about this, you know, that the solar eclipse is such a rare occurrence, but we just had one here in 2017. We had that, and we were actually in the path of totality in 2017. And it was actually a really cool experience to see, but I was trying to figure out what was different between this solar eclipse and the one that we just experienced. I guess how many years ago was that? Eight years ago.
I don't know.
8 years ago. But again, back then we were able to experience it. This time it was really cloudy. It seemed like a bit of a nothing burger to me. I didn't even bother getting the glasses when I saw how cloudy it was outside. And considering we weren't in the path of totality, I just was like, whatever.
Yeah, my sister, she lives in Cincinnati, and she told me that she actually drove 2 hours to Indianapolis to be able to be in the path of totality. And they, that even though it just got dim and very unique around Georgia, because it was clear blue skies for us leading up to the eclipse. And we were able to see it. And my son, it's so funny how teenagers do think they know it all. Isn't it funny? And he's like, you can't look up there at the sky at all. You'll be blind. You're going to destroy your retina.
Well, and I will say that I did confirm with our good friend, Dr. Richard Urso, who, you know, an ophthalmologist, I can never say that word, surgeon and specialist. I said, hey, okay, just, you know, I'm seeking your professional opinion as an eye care specialist. Can I look at the eclipse without glasses? And he said, no, get glasses. So I will take that.
Okay. So this is what I Googled because I didn't have glasses, is can I get my camera and turn it around backwards and let it record it? So I would love to know what Dr. Urso would say about that, because that's what I chose to do. I got my phone and I turned it backwards and a video.
Well, he's an eye specialist. He's not an iPhone specialist, but you know, we'll see.
So my eyes looked at the iPhone to see the camera, to see what was happening. But the most interesting thing was actually just how the birds started changing, and you could tell the atmosphere kind of changed, that everything seemed, nature seemed to notice that something was different. So it made me think about that movie that Mel Gibson's in. What is it called? Where you know, he goes into the South American jungle where the Aztecs and the Incas are. And there's this moment where they're sacrificing all the, it's a great show. If anybody hasn't seen it, I'll try to remember what it is.
I missed this movie. I have no idea.
It's to die for, because if you ever want to really understand what people faced who came onto, you know, we're called the people who came in and supplanted all the natives on the land of America because they were Caucasians. When you look at what they faced when they came onto the shores of the South American shores, it's amazing that they did not run for their lives and never come back. Because what was happening was human sacrifice. And in this particular scene in the movie, this is actually what the conquerors came in and witnessed, was during the sacrifice, a total eclipse happens. And these people are sacrificing to the sun god. So the coincidence of the moment getting to have a total eclipse makes them believe, you know, that the sun god has heard them. So you could see how people who didn't know any better would possibly believe that, because it was quite profound, the photos that my sister sent us, because it went total black at 3 p.m. in the day. And you could see this rim around the moon that was just shining from the sun. So apparently that's what's so unique, is that you can look with your naked eye and see the corona of the sun, because it's the most dangerous part of the sun is actually covered up by the moon. Yeah.
You can during totality. You can look at it with your naked eye during the totality. But I mean, according to my Facebook feed, I was kind of disappointed, because I thought that, you know, that there's going to be kind of like laser beams shooting from the sky, and that, like, you know, let the apocalypse games begin. but none of that seemed to occur. So here, you know, yeah, here we are.
The rapture did not happen.
No. Nope.
Yep. By the way.
Or it did, and we're still here. I don't know.
I did see that movie, Michelle. It's called Apocalypto. And yeah, that was released in 2006, which is almost 20 years ago. But I agree with you. That movie was fantastic.
And again, put it on my list.
When I sit down to, you know, watch things now, and I think it probably has something to do with 10 plus years of nursing. If I watch something, it has to be something pleasant. I'm like, I have seen too many bad things. I probably would not sit down and watch it now. But when I did see it a long time ago, it was excellent.
I think what's good to anybody out there listening that has high school students, they absolutely need to see the movie. It's a family movie that needs to be watched. It's going to be unbelievable, because you're going to see people literally living in a happy primitive state, and they're just living out in the woods, and they're minding their own business, being their own pagan selves. And these bigger pagans that are much more evil and dark and sinister actually need bodies to be able to sacrifice. So they come out and find the innocent, innocent pagans. And they bring them in for their sacrifice. And it's the journey of that pagan, innocent pagan, being brought into the evil pagans. And when they get you into the city where the Aztecs are, or the Incas, I'm not sure which one they are, I can't remember. But that it is so sinister. It's such a picture of how evil a culture can be. And things that people forget is that cultures that 100% forsake God, the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, and let's say have their own religion, because everybody that was living on the earth at that time, once upon a time, was a descendant. They are a descendant of those of Noah. So they all knew the truth. The descendants knew the truth at one time. And these religions are a deviation from what Noah got off the boat with. So we see the extreme in that movie of the most pagan, child sacrifice, human sacrifice. And during that movie, you've got these innocent pagans that are about to be sacrificed. And they're pagans themselves, but they're not the dark ones. And their plight to their own saving of their family. And it shows you that, you know, they're just as normal as you and I, just wanting to live out their lives, marry their women, have a beautiful lovemaking with their women, and have babies with their women, save their women and children from the destruction of evil men. And in a sinister way of looking at it, sadly, what happened to us in 2020, everybody was just minding their own business, living their own happy lives, trying to be the best American they could be. And what happened was something dark came to our country and disrupted all of that. And I know it's not an exact parallel, but I think it's good for high schoolers, particularly in college students, to watch that movie. What do you think, Melissa?
I completely agree. And, you know, there's so many terrible things happen because people don't know history. And also, we absolutely are spiritual beings. And, you know, if you don't, and I see this frequently, you know, if people don't have a relationship with God, they will make something else their God. And there is a long history of this with what you're referring to, with all of this history of human child infant sacrifice. When you look into history, it gets really dark. And I really do believe that there is a dark spirit that is fostering that. He's called the devil,
right?
You know? So, but yeah, I think that would be definitely not something I would show a little one, but yes, high schoolers, I think it could be really a good educational movie that you could watch with them.
Not to mention it's amazing cinematography. It's just a phenomenal movie. Mel Gibson did an amazing job on that movie. So to that point that you made, Kimberly, about the apocalypse didn't happen, because people were saying earthquakes can happen around the world when that happens. And I've never had learned about the astral plane. That's kind of like another realm that people do mingle in, who play with other kinds of new age things, and that there's something about the astral plane that was open, that it maybe open it to more demonic forces coming in or leaving, or angelic forces coming in or leaving. So I kind of wondered what in general would happen. And like you said, nothing burger. It was literally just a nice, maybe 15 minutes of my day. And then about probably 4 hours later, I thought, it's just a normal day. I'm going back to my business and my work, and life is business as usual.
You know, and to your point about you're talking about the high school students and all of that, I found it really interesting that many schools closed yesterday.
Yeah.
That was interesting, because to me, I mean, I can understand people maybe wanting to experience that as a family, but it seems to me like a missed opportunity. I felt like, you know, this is an incredible opportunity for teachers to gather their students outside, get the glasses, get whatever, and have a learning experience. You know, back in, I can remember being 9 or 10 years old, when the Challenger launch happened, which was quite an unfortunate event, as it would turn out. But we were all there watching that launch as a class and learning about these things. So it seemed like a really incredible learning opportunity. And so many school systems just decided to close, which I thought was really strange.
That did happen in our city. They actually did close. And I think you're dead on that made no sense, because a lot of kids are going home to either daycare or parents not at home, and they're not going to get that opportunity.
Right. Because to me, if you wanted to keep your child home, then keep your child home. You're always the absolute authority over your child. You know, always you can make the decision on where your child goes to school, stays home, whatever. But for those people, like if it were myself, I was a single mother. I can't imagine being able to take the day off of work for an eclipse. So if I had to arrange for childcare or pay for extra childcare, I mean, that's just so burdensome. And some children, they only eat when they go to school. You know what I mean? So we have to really think about those types of circumstances rather than just take another day off. And one more thing I wanted to, you mentioned about the earthquakes. And I try not to crawl down too many rabbit holes, but hold on. I saw something yesterday that I found interesting. I think it was on, I think Josh Yoder posted it.
Well, when you look for it, I want to tell y'all, when I was in college, when they showed us the Challenger video, because I know I'm the older nurse here.
Yes, half of them, more than half of 100, right?
Yes, I'm the one that ages everybody. So I was in college, and you know what? We thought it was going to be this amazing moment. And actually, what it was an amazing moment of a tragedy that we got to witness a failed launch. So it became historic. And my mother, who's 77, remembers watching when John F. Kennedy was coming through Dallas, Texas, and she saw live on television him killed. And TVs were rare. They hardly anybody had TV, so they only got to see that in school.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that, again, a completely missed opportunity to have that educational experience that you'll remember for. I mean, I know exactly where I was and exactly what happened at that moment with the Challenger tragedy, being in that classroom with my friends and my teacher. So this is what I found it here. Josh Yoder posted this to a story yesterday, and I didn't know about this. Like I said, I try and I can't process all these types of different theories, but Phil Schneider, it says he was giving a presentation in 1995 when he said the federal government has now invented an earthquake device. I am a geologist and I know what I'm talking about. With the Kobe earthquake in Japan, there was no pulse wave in a normal earthquake. None. In 1989, there was an earthquake in San Francisco. There was no pulse wave with that one either. Shortly after he gave this presentation, Phil was found dead in his apartment with a piano wire wrapped around his neck. Josh Yoder posted that in his Facebook story. And I just found that very interesting. I will say that nothing surprises me anymore. It would not shock me that the government would have some type of device that could cause some type of, but have you heard of anything like this before? I'd not heard of that.
So I did see the High Wire did a really good show on this. It's called Unpacking Climate Engineering with Jim Lee. So it is absolutely mesmerizing the type of technology that we have developed in our world. And we use good things with this high-tech technology we have. We also do some really, really stupid things with it. Yep. So I would look that up. Look up that episode that Del Bigtree did with the climate engineering. And also, this is even on mainstream networks now about how, you know, Bill Gates and what a wonderful person he is, guys. I mean, he's real healthy. Sorry, I won't get started. But anyway, it's a thing that he talks about how they need to use these different methods to block out certain rays from the sun to help to prevent climate change. And I don't know all the specifics on that, but it's some type of like chemical dust or whatever. But that is something that is being discussed on mainstream networks. So we know that there is some component of this that even mainstream media is willing to recognize.
Yeah, they don't even hide it anymore. And, you know, talking about movies and things like that, predictive programming, that seems to definitely be a thing. When you look at that, that horrible incident that happened in Baltimore. I don't know if we could call it an accident or what. I'm not trying to go down that rabbit hole either. It's not my wheelhouse. I don't know anything about that industry. But I find it interesting that that movie that came out, what was it called? Leave the World Behind, that the Obamas were behind, had predicted a catastrophe at that very same bridge in Baltimore that was hit by the cargo ship.
I saw the movie, but I didn't realize it was on that same bridge. That is terrible.
Yes. Yeah. And people were mentioning that this was like, this movie was predictive programming. I couldn't even finish watching that movie. Do you know that it made me physically uncomfortable to watch that movie? I don't know if it was the camera work, the shake.
Somebody did address that. They said that that if you actually played that movie and you saw the sound below it, like on a media player, you would see that there was some kind of dissonant sound that was added to it to make you unstable, uneasy, and ill at ease. So I wish I could find that. If I can, I'll put it in the show notes, and I'll make sure that the reference Melissa and Kimberly just gave will be in the show notes as well, so y'all can check it out. What Josh Yoder said and the reference Melissa just made. I actually just got sent a video from somebody that I thought was quite profound. And it was a woman basically saying, what if there was a whole bunch of what ifs. And if I had it, I would play it for all of you, maybe on another show. If I do, I'll put it in the show notes. But she's essentially saying, what if everything is a lie that we're living in? We're walking in this world because and we have to go to sleep every night for 6 to 8 hours to go to another realm, to recover, to be able to go back every day into this world. And while we're in this world, it's to remind us that we are strangers here. We do not belong here. All these little evidences are showing us that we are of the Lord's world and that we don't belong here. Ultimately, that there's something better farther on actually coming. It's quite a profound way that she looks at it. And the reason why it seems so profound to me is because of this last 4 years. I don't think I would have even heard what she said correctly 5 years ago. I would have thought she just sounded whack. But the way it sounded this time, I'm like, okay, I'm either now whack also, or I now see, it's literally like you say, on the table, there's a bouquet of flowers and you're pointing to it and you're talking to somebody and they're like, there's no flowers there. And I'm like, no, there's flowers on the table. No, there's no flowers on the table, Michelle. You're like, no, this is where I'm walking around. Like I'm talking to people that literally feel like they're in another world, not even seeing the same things that are right in front of us. Do you feel the same way, guys?
Absolutely. And also being, and I will say, like, I have been a Christian for a long time and I would go to church and do all these things. But before COVID, I was like, was I really paying attention? And then I think with all of the things that happened during COVID, I straight up just saw evil right in front of me. And I became even more connected to God and to Christianity. And I have a more in-depth understanding that we are in this world, we are not of this world, and our true citizenship is in heaven. And then we are in this world to basically be God's hands and feet and to save souls. And what I am seeing is that, and it even says it in the Bible that, you know, some people, they will not hear and they will not see. So, and this is like another example. And Whole Foods, they have these scanners and it's like, oh, you can pay with your hand. And as Christians, we know if you've read the book of Revelation, you should not, that sounds very, that sounds very sinister to be doing something like that, that there are people that they think, oh, what a great idea. That's really convenient. Yes, I would love to have something implanted in my hand that has all of my personal medical information and personal data and everything because it's just convenient. But there really is just such a stark contrast between people that are aligned and are connected with God and the ones that are very just connected with this world. And I have a friend of mine that gave me a really good analogy. And she was basically saying that our life on this physical world is like a vapor when we compare it to our eternal resting place in heaven with the Father.
That is beautiful. I love it. And I definitely think that those of us, it seems like when we go to these medical freedom events, we're going to a medical freedom event, but among those people are all these Jesus loving, very spiritually minded people.
Yeah. I think we're seeing the world through a different lens. Certainly, like you were saying earlier, Michelle, that I don't think I ever would have lended any credence to the theory of like alternate universes, but I do now. I do now. These last 4 years have really been eye-opening to me. And if we look at like the Mandela effect, I honestly think this is like one big psyop, the whole thing. The Mandela effect is like to make us think that we're crazy. I honestly believe that. I think it's a psyop.
And I know, audience, you may think, okay, these nurses have lost their mind, but I tell you, there's things that we have witnessed. And those of you that are out there listening, you know, you've witnessed things as well. You've noticed things even within your church. You've noticed how families have been divided. Marriages have failed. Friends have abandoned each other. People within their communities that they thought they were so similar to have found out, oh my goodness, we're so not alike. Or people you may have thought were Christian minded or had similar worldviews as you have absolutely nothing similar to you that you just thought they did. This has really been a very eye-opening last 4 years.
And I'm not trying to toot my own horn here or anything like that, but I'm just saying a lot of the things that we have all been talking about the past few years when people were like attacking us and calling us crazy, we ended up being right about. Now, we're not right about everything, you know, but when it comes to all of these, this craziness coming down from the CDC and the WHO and these vaccines, these mRNA injections, you know, I mean, I know people that were really ostracizing me and saying some really, really bad things about me because I had some safety concerns about these vaccines and they were going and getting all of them and they're not getting them anymore.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. I just actually was referring to somebody who I gave a book to written by attorney Sally Saxon and Dr. Deborah Viglione and Dr. Thorpe. It was the COVID-19 vaccines and beyond what the medical industrial complex is not telling us. And that book is in the America Out Loud store for everybody. And you should definitely get it and you should get it to give to your doctors. But I had given it to 3 nurses and I had never heard back from them. And I said, you know, why have I not heard back from y'all? What's going on? Oh, I don't think any of us have even looked at it. And one of us had looked at it and saw that it looked like some conspiracy theory doctors were cited in it. And I barely knew what to say because it was so enraging almost to me. I said, yes, there is a conspiracy, but it isn't the doctors exposing the conspiracy. They're exposing the conspirators that have done something to this entire country and the whole world. Have you all medical people not actually read the data that the Pfizer documents actually reveal? Do you not know these are some of the most published doctors in our country that are out there that you're calling conspiracy? Did you just Google their names and find what Google had to say about them? People, we have got to be ready to have answers for something like this. And I know we're going to have to cut for the break and we'll come back in just a minute. So don't forget to check out our online store at AmericaOutloud.shop, where you can find all the products that we represent on our network at a discounted rate, including the ASEA Redox Gel and the Redox Liquid. We're all using the skincare products. You've got to check them out. Use promo code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your purchase, and we'll catch you on the other side of the break. So stay with us. We'll come right back to this where we left off.
It's time and this is
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our Redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill, it's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to Nurses Out Loud. I'm going to pick right back up where we left off before the break and just say that it does appear that there are nurses and medical professionals out there that it seems the more credentials you may have, it may be more evidence of your indoctrination, and that may be why you seem to have what looks like a numbskull when it comes to the ability to comprehend that there is an opposing view. And I want to remind you, because they didn't teach you this in college, that when you go to court in the real world, there's these things called both sides of the courtroom. And each side is going to have experts, E-X-P-E-R-T-S. They could be from Harvard on one side and Yale on the other side. And they're going to bring opposing views of science. And guess what? The jury gets to decide who they believe is accurate. Likewise, our patients that we're supposed to advocate for, they are supposed to hear an informed consent about both sides of the science of any drug you are about to give them, any procedure they're about to have given to them. They are supposed to be told about the risks, which obviously most all of them involve death. So we want to tell them how likely the chance of death may be with something. And when you discover that within the Pfizer documents, they knew of the harms associated to this vaccine to pregnant women, to children, to young boys' hearts. It was a known fact and it wasn't disclosed. You should not be part of the propaganda crowd defending the pharmaceutical industry. You should be part of the thing that you signed up to be, which wasn't a person with 6 or 7 or 10 letters behind your name, just so you could feel like you're something. It was so that you could be a patient advocate, so that you could actually be a part of the healers of your generation. You are either called to be part of the solution for the suffering of this world, or you are part of the problem. So I just want to check you on that. And if you're out there feeling checked right now, I want to encourage you to get that book, The COVID-19 Vaccines and Beyond, What the Medical Industrial Complex is Not Telling Us, by attorney Sally Saxon and Dr. Viglione and Dr. Thorpe. So check it out. You need to have it. I would encourage you, it's a really affordable book, to get a few copies and start giving it as gifts to your doctors. We've even provided a cover letter that you don't even have to say a word to your doctor. You can upload the cover letter to your patient portal. All you need to do is go to Nurse Michelle's page and look up that particular title, and you will find the PDF that you can download that is the cover letter to give to your doctor, because don't be intimidated by them. They look the same undressed as you, and they are no different from you. Their credentials are just credentials. They're human, and they can be wrong, and they need to have information. You may be the only person that actually gives them any information. So ladies, if y'all want to weigh in on that before we move to the next topic, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true what you said about the the nurses with the more letters, and there's nothing inherently wrong with furthering your education and getting more certifications. I think that's great. I actually just earned a couple more letters myself. Thank you, Melissa Schreibfreder, for my new credential, functional medicine practitioner. So there's nothing inherently wrong with seeking more education. I actually encourage people to do that. But there have been studies done that the higher level of education, the more likely you are to fall into a mass formation psychosis. There's an actual study and there's a connection there. The more education you have, the more exposure to indoctrination. So I was saying over the break when the three of us were talking that, you know, I started out as an ASN nurse. I went back and got my BSN, and then I was in the program. I'm about 85% to my master's degree when I actually stopped in the middle of pursuing that. But I found it interesting that, you know, we wrote a lot of papers and there was a lot of evidence-based practice, but I don't feel like anything that I learned in either of those programs made me a better nurse. Nothing.
You know, I really feel the same way with you, Kimberly. And I've never agreed with this whole idea that, oh, ADNs and LPNs, those nurses aren't as good as the BSNs or the MSNs. Because honestly, like I have seen so many people get out of school, especially this higher level education, without having good critical thinking skills. Right. And just because somebody is book smart does not mean that they are going to be street smart. And that is one of the reasons why, you know, I saw so many of these alternative training programs to get people functionally and holistically trained, and they were leaving out the ADNs and the LPNs. And for listeners that aren't nurses, those are the nurses who have the clinical experience, but they just have a little less education. And usually that education is what Kimberly's talking about. It's like more English, more science class, more writing papers. And I do think that when you're in school for so long, I know with nursing school, there was one week where we had 600 pages of assigned reading. How are you actually going to absorb that information and then critically think and assess that information? You don't. You absorb that information and then you take a test about it. But I think that it's almost training your brain. Here's all this information. This is true. Don't think about it. We're going to move on to the next topic. And I saw this too when everything went really crazy with COVID. And I remember I was advocating for the use of repurposed medications like ivermectin. And one of the nurses that was very argumentative with me, she was a doctorate level nurse, and she was talking about how we should do the vaccines because they're safe and effective, but ivermectin is a dangerous drug. And I said, can you show me your source for this? So the source that she sent me was from Merck, like just quoting Merck. And does Merck have a good reputation? Let's think about this critically. Does Merck make a lot of money off of old repurposed drugs, or are they making a ridiculous amount of money off of new medications and vaccines?
Because Merck was the manufacturer for ivermectin, were they not?
Yes. But after a drug has been approved for a long time and it's so there's issues with the patent. So they still can make money off of it, but they're not going to make the ridiculous amount of money that they're going to make off of a new vaccine for which they can mandate, or for medications such as Paxlovid. And Paxlovid was a big moneymaker.
That brings us to the next topic, actually, because there's so much more to say about that. And I am going to be bringing Dr. Brownstein back onto my show because he contests that all these people who have graduated with all these extra degrees that got the extra data classes, let's say like statistics that somebody that may have only had an associate degree did not get, that apparently they didn't learn statistics too well in college because they don't know how to read any scientific data appropriately. Because if they had read the scientific data that said that that the vaccines were safe for pregnant women, this data said that it was a relative risk of 0.08% of a miscarriage. When if they knew what a relative risk was versus an actual risk, they would have known that the actual data showed that it was like 80% of a miscarriage rate, not a relative risk, which is not the same thing at all. So we're going to deal with that in a future thing. But because you brought up Paxlovid, Paxlovid and Merck did make ivermectin, and it also made Paxlovid. So what a conflict of interest that their own drug that couldn't make them any money anymore because it was long, you know, the patent was expired. And now it was just pennies on the dollar for you to use this very safe medication. But they produce another medication that's given an EUA and suddenly is supposedly the amazing drug that is going to help everybody in early COVID. Now, of course, that didn't come out till 2022, if I'm not mistaken. It wasn't in 2021 that it came out. And everybody that started getting it, like the President Biden and Fauci and everybody, within a few 8 weeks later, what did they get? Rebound COVID. And we're like, oh, funny. All of us that actually got COVID naturally didn't have rebound COVID 8 weeks later. Kind of an interesting little detail. But one of the questions sent in by the audience was Patrick sent in the question that said, my poor baby boy passed away from a miscarriage at 15 weeks and I think it may have been related to COVID. He had a clot in the placenta. My girlfriend was about 4 weeks along when she got COVID, and they gave her Paxlovid to treat her COVID, and the pregnancy went on, and then she lost the baby at 15 weeks, and we found out there was a blood clot in the placenta. And when I heard it, I mean, my heart was just broken for him, because it's not often that I get men that come out and speak, you know, for, on behalf of their own heartache for the loss that their wife lost the baby. But here he was wanting desperately to find me, help me understand, help. He wanted to understand how he could protect her from a future miscarriage because he was brokenhearted over the loss of his own son. And I told him, I said, I really have some hard news to say to you. Number one, is your wife at all sickly? What's her age? Is she a high-risk person? And the answer was no. She's a perfectly healthy 29-year-old woman. And he said she handled COVID perfectly fine. And her pregnancy was like perfectly healthy, nothing going wrong at all. She'd never gotten the COVID-19 vaccine. So I said, well, does she work in a highly vaccinated environment that maybe she got some shedding? And he said, no, she's actually a mom at home. And he said the only place she would possibly get shedding would be like at a grocery store. And I will put in the notes, the study from Dr. Christiana Northrup, My Cycle Story, that shows the shedding impact on women who are not vaccinated, who work in highly vaccinated environments, having abnormal periods and heavy clotting and things like that. So we know that it's been documented that women's reproductive systems have been impacted by the presence of the COVID vaccine. But what concerned me the most was he revealed to me that his care provider for his pregnant wife was a functional naturopathic nurse practitioner who prescribed the Paxlovid. And I said, there is no data that says that that drug is safe for a pregnant woman. And there's safe ways to take care of a perfectly healthy person who has almost zero risk of a complication to not take an EUA drug that now has gotten FDA approval. But at the time that it was given to her, it was still EUA. Not that it makes any difference to me. I don't want it anyways. But I want to give y'all a chance to weigh in on this because I know I can, you know, we're all feeling the same way, that this is just shocking that a healthy young woman was given an EUA drug for a disease that she had low risk for.
So I have that Paxlovid insert pulled up, and I highly recommend that the general public learn how to find these inserts because oftentimes the prescribing providers are not reading them. And again, just because somebody is saying that they are functional medicine, naturopathic, you really, really need to vet these individuals because what I have found is many of them still consider the CDC and the FDA to be credible sources of information. And being in the functional medicine space myself, there are certain organizations that I choose not to align with because I know that they are still in lockstep with these organizations. And we need to use our discernment and critical thinking. And what happens is in, you know, the regular medical model, people are blindly not thinking. And they're like, well, the CDC says this, almost like they're robotic. And then they go into functional medicine and then it's the same thing, but it's a supposedly holistic organization that is still following the CDC. It's the same thing. So now when you look up these inserts, all you really need to do is just type in FDA package and FDA insert and the put in the drug information. So for Paxlovid. So, and if you do like this search and find feature for pregnant, it says, what if I am pregnant or breastfeeding? Then it says there is limited experience treating pregnant women or breastfeeding mothers with Paxlovid. For a mother and unborn baby, the benefit of taking Paxlovid may be greater than the risk for the treatment. Note that it says it may be greater. We don't know for sure. And then it says, if you are pregnant, discuss your options and specific situation with your healthcare provider. Now, again, this package insert from the FDA, the drug companies that are making a lot of money off of Paxlovid. We know that the FDA receives a lot of money
from the pharmaceutical companies. So big time conflict of interest there. And we know with things like COVID that there are so many treatment modalities out there with even things like, you know, nutraceuticals, like, you know, your vitamin D, your C, your zinc, things that are safe to take in pregnancy. So that really is concerning that a functional provider would, read something like this and then just take it like, oh, well, the benefit may be greater, but we have limited experience. I mean, what are we thinking there? We don't know what the long-term effects are going to be for that unborn child when we are giving a, fairly new medication. And then as you guys may have, we hear the same thing over and over and over where the FDA says, oh, this is safe. Yes, you can give it to pregnant women. And then years later, they're like, oops, it actually causes cancer or neurological deficits. So how in the world in healthcare are we not recognizing the same playbook where they say things are safe, and like with what they did with Vioxx, with opiates, with the COVID vaccination? I mean, there's so many examples of this. So I think that, you know, being like your best advocate, because, and also viewing yourself as the CEO of your own health, we should be really careful not to outsource our health to the white coats, because at the end of the day, they're people just like we are, and people are prone to mistakes.
And there are people that aren't doing their research. And I know we've alluded to that many, many times, that these doctors are not doing their own research. They're just taking whatever's handed down to them by the CDC and the FDA. And they are, you know, parroting those narratives to their patients, which to me is just completely egregious. But that we ever did this in pregnant women, this should have been category X, right? I mean, they don't let pregnant women eat deli meat. They don't let pregnant women change a litter box, but we're going to go ahead and give them these EUA drugs when we have no idea. And like you alluded to earlier, Michelle, she was probably, if she's a healthy young individual, she probably would have done fine with no treatment at all, even without the ivermectin, right? She probably would have done fine. Same way we treat the flu, right? We don't usually do anything if you're outside of that, you know, Tamiflu, whatever, however you feel about that. If you're outside of that 72-hour window, you just, you know, you treat the symptoms.
Well, I reached out to Dr. Thorpe and I put it before him, and I told him, I'm sure pregnant women were not in this trial because it's unethical to put pregnant women in trials. So how could a nurse practitioner under any doctor or whatever even think about doing this? And especially one that claims to be a functional medicine nurse, he said Paxlovid should never have been used in pregnancy. There's no safety data on it. This class of drugs should be contraindicated in pregnancy. There is no hard data to prove its safety and efficacy for pregnant women. It's unethical to give that medicine to pregnant women, but there's no barriers to the unethical behavior of the current medical establishment. And those are profound statements that he's saying. But this particular person went on to ask me, they said, well, what is the mechanism of action by which Paxlovid could cause a clot in the placenta? Okay, so the girl did have COVID, right? And we know that COVID does have a coagulation effect, that there is a thickening of the blood. It would seem, Melissa, you're a functional medicine nurse, that it would be a credible thing to put somebody on a low-dose aspirin at a minimum as a treatment for a pregnant woman. I mean, obviously, blood thin. I've been on Lovenox injections all through pregnancies. We give superpower blood thinners for people like me who have blood clots. So if you think that the person is so at risk that you want to give them an emergency use authorization drug that you know hasn't been tested on pregnant women, why wouldn't you do something like aspirin? Would you say that that would be a reasonable thing to do for a preventative, just to protect them? Because we would do that with our regular COVID patients.
Yes. And then again, with pharmaceuticals, I'm not against using pharmaceuticals, but it's always risk versus benefit. But something like aspirin has been out for a very, very long time. So, and it actually, we've been using aspirin for women who are at high or moderate risk for things like preeclampsia. That's when you get blood pressure issues in pregnancy. So that seems like the safer route to go. And I also want to mention another study I have pulled up here. Paxlovid from the beginning has been highly, highly controversial. It's a big moneymaker, and it's a red flag when you have people like the president of the United States promoting Paxlovid, when we know Biden has a long history of selling out to pharmaceutical companies. But just the amount of politicians and big business and organizations that were really promoting it, when we also know that Paxlovid can cause rebound COVID. So I also wonder if there's another connection there to these complications. But there was a, and again, when we talk about scientific studies, if you have enough money, you can make a study say whatever you want it to say. And there's a lot of fraud in scientific studies. So whenever we see a study, we really need to look into it and read about it and see if there's somebody here that may have a conflict of interest. But this was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And it says, Paxlovid for vaccinated or unvaccinated adult outpatients with COVID-19. And the first author on this is Jennifer Hammond. And what they found was that Paxlovid does not decrease the duration of COVID-19 symptoms compared to the placebo. And, you know, again, when pharma comes out with this big new shiny drug and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, it's great. We did the study and it looks amazing. And then all of these doctors are like, well, there's a study. It looks great. We know good and well that pharmaceutical companies are known for putting forth fraudulent studies. Why do we believe every single thing that they say?
Right. You want to say something?
Yeah, I've never been a proponent of Paxlovid. I've been saying from the beginning that it's bad medicine. I couldn't understand why all of these doctors were pushing this ridiculous medication with the rebound effect, and like you said, Melissa, it didn't show any improvement or decrease in symptoms. So to me, it just made no sense to use this medication, I just feel like it's unfortunate that people continue to parrot studies that we know are corrupt. The data is corrupt. The studies are corrupt. Pfizer, I think, was there was a lawsuit. I don't remember what the numbers were on that, but because of the corrupt data that they have used in these studies. So why do we even point to them for anything? I think pharmaceutical medication, like you said, Melissa, has its place. But if, you know, I don't watch TV anymore. I barely ever watch TV, but I was in getting my manicure last week and they had on the news. So I got some exposure to the programming, right? 4 out of 5 of the commercials were pharmaceutical ads.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty telling.
We're indoctrinating an entire culture. Yeah. So I want to make sure to leave the audience with a comment that was made. So ivermectin is not given during pregnancy. It is hydroxychloroquine that is typically more recommended for that when it comes to pharmaceuticals. But here's the most important thing for the pregnant women to out there listening. If you're afraid of being sick with COVID during pregnancy, nasal oral sanitation is where it's at. You can get Exlear that's available in the store of America Out Loud. You can get it at any drugstore. It's only xylitol and grapefruit seed extract. You can use it daily as a prophylactic. But when you actually test positive for COVID, flu, or RSV, you will want to get a 1% dilute povidone iodine nasal spray. You can use it for 5 days of COVID. You do it from the first sign that you are sick. So if you think you have flu, COVID, or RSV, you immediately start using it every 4 hours for 5 days. Now, typically I would have somebody doing it 7 to 10 days until their COVID was passed. But for pregnancy, they have recommended at the FLCCC for it to be 5 days. You would practice nasal oral sanitation. It's easy with the products that have the iodine for nasal spray in the nose and throat spray, but you can gargle anything that with eucalyptol in it, like Listerine or something like that. But then also having a nebulizer where you nebulize even basic saline, but ideally 0.04% hydrogen peroxide, like Dr. Brownstein recommends. And now Dr. Thorpe has come out and made his whole protocol that mimics Dr. Brownstein's 0.04% hydrogen peroxide. And he also shares Dr. Mercola's 0.1% hydrogen peroxide concoction. But just so you all know, I'll put it in the citations, 1.5% is what I call the NIH protocol for nebulizing hydrogen peroxide. So they dose it at even 1.5%. So nebulizing hydrogen peroxide and having some Lugol's iodine to do it with effectively does help mitigate the disease. Number two, as Melissa mentioned, vitamin C, as Dr. Brownstein's recommendation, 1,000 milligrams every hour for the first 4 days until you have bowel tolerance, where you start getting loose bowels, you can stop. You can talk to all these things about your OB doctor. This is not medical advice. I'm just sharing what brave doctors say to us. And number two, the vitamin D is recommended at 50,000 IUs a day for 4 days. But, you know, talk to your OB if it should be less frequently for pregnant women. Vitamin A, 100,000 IUs per day for 4 days is Dr. Brownstein's protocol. But do you do it at a lower dose during your pregnancy? None of these involve having to involve pharmaceuticals. And you're healthy, young, and you have an immune system that's actually boosted and strong right now. They want to make you believe you're weak, but you're actually really strong because you're supporting two humans.
But I absolutely agree with you. And I am just being recently being pregnant myself. I cannot stress how amazing midwives are. And again, just like we talked about functional medicine providers, you want to vet, even if somebody is saying that they are holistic, you want to vet them. But we see overall that women tend to have better results when working with midwives, just because how the treatment is very different. And again, if you're working with a midwife that is truly functional medicine based, like who I worked with in the Nashville area, they were wonderful. I had a whole binder full of like, okay, you get the flu, you have COVID, here are natural things that you can do. And also remember, we can use food as medicine, organic, whole foods, bone broth, things like fermented foods like sauerkraut that are rich in vitamin C. There are so many wonderful things that we can do to support the body.
Yes. Thank you, Melissa. Always want to check back with her when she has great recommendations on these kind of topics. I want to remind you also that when a doctor does recommend a medication for you, just go ahead and take the little prescription, go home and get on the patient portal. And that's when you're going to need to write a very detailed letter that's going to force them to have to think and write and give you an answer. Okay. And one of those things that you're going to say is, you know, I know I, you know how sad we are about the recent loss of our baby. There's a blood clot. I'm hoping that it was sent to pathology. I'd like to know what the results are, what was studied. Are you aware of it, the safety data associated with Paxlovid? Because I know that you prescribed it to me during my pregnancy. Do you have any evidence that supports that it was safe during pregnancy? Do you have any evidence that, if it causes rebound COVID, if that's documented, what is rebound COVID? Well, it's COVID again. So if COVID thickens the blood again, could it cause a blood clot in the person's placenta for the second time, right? And this ends the baby's ability to survive. So there's a lot of, I will include a note that I wrote to this patient to use to send to their nurse practitioner so that you can upload it to your own portal to know how to ask questions about ways to get access to early treatment. And we can inform the practitioners out there that are evidently uninformed, unread, as Kimberly has said, they're not reading, and get them some information that the next pregnant woman will not have the same outcome. I think we're going to have to wrap it up for today. So thanks everybody for coming on, and you all listening in the audience, please do send your questions in to nurses@americaoutloud.com. And we will feature your questions here on Nurses Out Loud. Until next week.
It's time.